This is Melody.
And this is The Water Cooler. How you doing today, Melody?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Rich? I'm
doing pretty well. So this is our first episode of our newly launched podcast. And I think it probably is a good idea for us to go through maybe our background.
Sure.
As well as what this whole podcast is all about. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to start us off, Melody?
Sure. Well, I'll either gain listeners now or lose them.
Yeah, same here.
I used to be a Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter person, and quickly realized that, well, not so quickly, but finally eventually realized that I was backing the wrong movement thanks to some very, very good friends that had a lot of patience with me.
Sure.
You know, I am a former Leo wife, so I used to have a deputy husband. Now I have you as a husband.
Yeah,
much
not a
better.
Deputy.
No, huge step up. But the reason I say that is because I feel like everyone can learn. You know, I feel like no one is a lost cause, because I could have been that lost cause. I could have been the person that was, you know, all lives matter and never learned anything, but I did. And I'm here basically to try to be as good of an ally as I can be, and help others. You know, we can learn together. Obviously, I don't know everything there is to know. I think you feel the same way. You're Spanish
absolutely, and
white. So, you know, we're the white couple that is trying to do better.
Yeah, that's a good synopsis. And, you know, Melody, do you want to go into any of your early life or anything like that? Or do you want to just leave it at that?
Well, I think that we grew up very differently.
We did.
You know, you grew up very impoverished and in single parent household, in a lot of government aided mm-hmm. type housing. And so you've seen, you know, from day one of birth, a lot of things I've never seen. My white bubble, as we call it, which will be a whole other podcast, but I lived in kind of a bubble of, I didn't know there was really race. I didn't know really there was class. I was above middle class, you know, never really wanting for anything. And, didn't know that there was all kinds of crap in the world, really. And it wasn't until I went to an art school, you know, it wasn't until I decided to go to a teacher academy that was in the middle of an 80% black school that I even...
Actually, that was 90% black, by the way.
I'm sorry. We went to the same high school. But it wasn't until then that I really saw race.
Yeah. And I guess that's a good segue, Melody. Thank you for into my past. You know, I was born with into a single mother household. My parents divorced when they were two, or when I was two. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my mom was not very well off, so we lived in a lot of government type housing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a latchkey kid since third grade.
Which I can't even imagine. I mean, we have kids now, you know, almost 6, 5, and 1. And I just can't even believe that you were by yourself, really.
Yeah, walking home by myself, letting myself in the house. You know, I'll never forget walking into the the project that we lived in. And there was a double murder suicide right next door to me. And I had to let myself into my apartment by, you know, pulling up the police crime scene tape, you know.
Yikes.
And that was at like fourth grade.
You know?
I haven't had I haven't been fortunate to go to a lot of high end schools.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to a lot of C rated or below schools. And you know, and maybe for another podcast, you know, we can say that I've done very well, even with all that said. I've mm-hmm. been multiple, you know, I'm a multiple scholarship winner. I was a Bright Futures Award winner, you know, because I had a lot of good teachers, even though that I was in F-rated, D-rated schools. I had
right.
good teachers around me that saw potential and they helped me.
Yeah.
Right. But that's not to say, though, that I didn't quickly understand how the streets work,
mm-hmm.
How race works,
mm-hmm.
You know, and just how society works.
And yeah. You had your PhD in race relations way before I even knew there was black people.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a lot of times to where, you know, I was, you know, before bullying was a hot topic,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is way, way young, you know, earlier.
Like, for instance, I had one black student in my elementary school that I knew.
I was typically the one white student in my school. Yeah.
I had one black student in my class from kindergarten to fifth grade. That's the only black person I ever knew. And then in School of the Arts, I don't really remember. I mean, it was more like a what are you here for art area. But I had one black teacher my entire life until high school.
Yeah, definitely different ways that we grew up.
Very different.
For sure. So with that said, you know, Melody and I think we bring fresh perspective. You might hear us in future podcasts disagree on mm-hmm. things. I grew up a certain way. She grew up a certain way. She has different ideals. I have different ideals. And, you know.
And for sure, we differ, you know, religiously and politically. But we make it work maritally.
Yeah, I know. And there's no problem, right? Because I always, one thing that I've always tried to live my life, and at a very, very young age, was to try to see all sides of everything. And, you know, that I think that's helped me tremendously navigate life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, if somebody is acting a certain way that makes me upset, let's just say, and this is at a young age, I try to understand why are they doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily why am I mad at it.
Right.
And I do that now, even in our relationship, right?
Right. Regardless of what we may disagree on, we agree that Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important. I think, you know, right now we're in a turning point. As hopeless as sometimes it may seem, and you know, hey, this is 2020, right? And it doesn't seem like 2020 can ever get any worse, but it always seems to do it. You know, we're in 2020. Right. And we said this back in 2010. We said this back in 2000. Hey, it's 2010. We need to move past this. It's 2000. We need to move past this. But we haven't moved past it yet. We're still confronting things. I think, you know, a lot of this is now being shoved in our face and down our throat, whether we like it or not, you know, whether it makes you uncomfortable or not. I think we're at a point to where it's vehemently undeniable that there are transgressions and there are issues that are facing black people in this world, and more specifically in the United States, of course, that's where we live, that are just borderline egregious, if not more. And, you know, here's the thing. I always like to use this analogy, right, Melody? That I can wake up, say it's 8 a.m., I need to go get a loaf of bread. I jump in my vehicle, I drive to Publix, I go get a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
I drive home, I bring my loaf of bread back in the house. One thing I never worried about was the police, and one thing I never worried about was anything, getting in trouble or anything,
mm-hmm.
right? The only thing I'm worried about is, gosh, I hope there's not a long line in the checkout.
Yep. But you don't have to worry about someone following you around the store. You don't have to worry about walking out to your car if it's parked far away, because you have to park kind of far away from our townhouse. You don't have to worry about the police following you.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm a pretty good law-abiding citizen, mm-hmm. I'll say. I've done
this. This joker has never been pulled over in my life. It's ridiculous.
I don't know if that's white privilege or just because I'm such a good driver.
No, that is a fluke. I mean, it's partially white privilege, but my Lord, I have never met anyone in my life who has never been pulled over by the police except for you.
No, never.
Never.
Or traffic ticket or anything.
36 years old, folks. Never been pulled over.
No, I drive very carefully. But I have done my, you know, without getting too far off topic, and we promise we'll rein this in here in just a minute, guys. But, you know, I always like to joke that one day I did a rolling stop through a red light on a right-hand turn, and it was a red light. I probably rolled through the stoplight at 10 miles an hour, made my right-hand turn, and I cut off two motorcycle cops. Cut them right off. And
they looked at you like you're big white butt in a big truck, and they just figured, you know what, we'd rather go to lunch.
And I for sure thought I was going to get pulled over, and I didn't. So, but the whole point of the matter is that, you know, hey, you know, I don't know. Did they see me? Did they profile me? I don't know. If I was black, would that have gone down differently? Possibly. I don't know. That's pontificating. But in the end of the day, I think, you know, we have a lot, you know, Melody and I have a lot that we can share with our listeners. And we bring some things to the table. Now, with that said, one thing I do want to do is introduce the podcast itself. Melody, do you want to give a quick rundown of what we're trying to accomplish here?
Yeah, basically, we're going to be going through different news stories and bringing them to you, things that you might not have understood or even seen in the news, things that aren't big news stories. Some stuff might be big news stories that you didn't even realize how they would affect Black lives. But like, for instance, Rich, did you know that there was a law in Opa-locka, Florida, mm-hmm. for 13 years? Mm-hmm. Okay. So think about it. 13 years.
Sure.
The law was baggy pants. Yes, sir. The mm-hmm. law was against baggy pants. If you had baggy pants, they could come and hassle you.
Yeah, and I mean, that's absolutely targeted towards one demographic, right?
Absolutely.
Either black or Spanish, both. Or,
now,
or whatnot,
we had just, yeah, we just read about this. They, thank God, overturned this ridiculous law because, quote, it unfairly targeted the black and brown people in their community. No way, obviously. So, you know, that's good, but we're basically bringing you interesting facts like that you may or may not have heard of, and you know, just things that we find to be either surprising or interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like,
or
one,
helpful.
Exactly. You know, like one, for example, we were doing show prep in the last couple weeks, you know, we read a story together about the first female black owned convenience store slash gas station.
That was
South
amazing.
Florida.
Yeah, they bought two franchises. One is in Hollywood, Florida, and the second might be coming to West Palm Beach in 2021. So that's super exciting.
Right.
But yeah, so these are some examples. But because this is our first actual podcast, I want to talk about something that is super important to this whole movement, because if you haven't known, I am the founder of Black Lives Now, and
I'm the IT administrator, but I'm also Melody's husband. So
yeah, so you know, he helped.
I'm by proxy, I'm here, right?
Yep. He helped me, and I basically founded this organization because I and myself and another person was silenced in a group of basically white moms that they didn't want us talking about Black Lives Matter or anything to do with political things or anything like that because it made some of the rich white women uncomfortable, which to me is basic racism 101, right? So obviously, we were silenced, and this really wonderful person came to me and asked, you know, how I felt about it, and, you know, maybe we should do our own group. And I was like, you know, that's a great idea. So I started the group, and she helped me with it a lot. And I immediately called my best friends from high school who helped me realize how much I was wrong when I was the All Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter woman. And basically, we've been growing it ever since. And the reason is because I'm sick and tired of the wash, rinse, repeat of someone dying at the hands of police brutality and the whole country going up in arms for a little while and then it dying out. And all the racists in the country just wait for it to die out and they think that they win every time because there's not enough change.
But Melda, can I say that you're white? What business do you have starting this?
You're right. I really don't. I think that...
But you have a strong group behind you.
Yes. I have asked my admin team several times if I should step down, actually, because I feel like maybe, you know, the whole point of Black Lives Matter is I want to elevate Black voices and give them the spotlight. So I sort of stay in the background and, you know, try to do, you know, what I can do from the sidelines. But my admin team has told me over and over again that this is really not a Black person problem. Black people didn't create racism. Mm-hmm. White people did. And it's going to take us working together to dismantle racism. And I agree with them. So I'm doing everything I can and I'm learning everything I can to help dismantle racism in any way I can.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. And, you know, Melody, one thing just to point out there, and I'm sorry if I missed this in what you were saying, but, you know, there's something to be said for education. Mm-hmm. Right. When you stop learning, you die.
Yeah.
Right. And one thing that we want to do under the Black Lives Now initiative is to educate.
Right.
And more specifically, we don't need to educate Black folk.
No.
They know what's going on, right? I mean, they understand this.
Yeah.
This is for the naive. This is for those who are afraid to ask people things.
Right.
Right. You know?
And the unintentional racist.
Yeah.
I was very unintentionally racist for a lot of my life.
Sure.
And that is both embarrassing and saddening, but I have to take ownership of that responsibility that I was wrong for a long time, and now I'm learning better ways to do things. Like, I really thought I had all of the right instincts and motives of saying all lives matter, but I had no idea how damaging and disrespectful and harmful that was to, you know, because all lives can't matter until Black lives do. And Black lives clearly do not matter as much as white lives if you look at the disparities in both police brutality, medical treatment and medical care, the disparities in Black babies dying at 3 times the rate of white babies. These are all statistics that you can easily Google, and there's research behind it.
Sure.
And I had no idea. So if we can do anything to bring some of this knowledge to someone else, I feel like we're doing our part.
Well, again, no need to apologize, right? Because it's never too late to learn. It's never too late to become more informed.
And when you know better, you do better.
Of course. So with that said, one thing I'd like to do, Melody, is just pivot here just for a minute. I think there's two things that we want to achieve tonight with this podcast, mm-hmm. right? One is something that we just recently found out by our Governor DeSantis. Put out a declaration of, what do you even call it? A declaration of protest.
To be honest with you, I think that is absolutely a act of war against anyone who doesn't agree with him. Because he posted Combating Violence, Disorder, and Looting and Law Enforcement Protection Act.
And we'll get to that in a minute, though. I just want to give a synopsis. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing, right? That,
okay.
Or actually, I think that's the second thing that we want to get to. But the first thing that we're going to get to is I think just fatigue, right? I think the number one thing that we need to talk about tonight is fatigue. And right. I think this is going to be a hopefully this resonates with our listeners, because, you know, fatigue is a hell of a thing. And this is 2020. We are all fatigued for numbers of reasons.
Oh, yes.
Right. You know, whether it is coronavirus, whether it's to send your kid back to school, whether it is going to the store, there's just everything's closed. We're stuck in our houses if you're abiding by the law.
But here's the thing. So we've come across this article that I want to go over, because the thing is that...
Yeah, and I think the transition here is that there's so many different things that are going on right now that are we getting fatigued by the news stories?
I don't know.
Of Black Lives.
Here's the thing, though. This article is talking about the support for Black Lives Matter movement is down since June. Now, we all know that. So we would think that everyone, all the support is down. But Black and Asian support is not down very much. Black mm-hmm. support actually is up. So Black support in September was 86% in 2019. I'm sorry, in, yeah. June 2020, 87%. So it's actually gone up.
Okay.
Now, I'm surprised it's not 100%. I mean, they literally have skin in the game. There's some people, you know, cognitive dissonance or whatever.
Well, you're going to have Black Republicans.
Right.
I mean, that does exist, right? Right. So, I mean,
such a social issue. I feel like it should not be politicized. And that's a whole other conversation that makes me mad. But the Asian support also did not go down very much. It went from 75% to 69%. But the white and Hispanic support went down significantly. Hispanic went from 77 to 66. The white went down the worst. It went from 60 to 45%. And that makes me super sad. I know that you want to blame it on 2020 and COVID and everything else. But
well, I mean, to be fair, I think there's a lot of different things going on here.
Yeah,
right?
I think one variable is that it's hard for white people to really empathize with something that does not directly affect them. It's hard to stay supportive and feel something that you don't actually have anything to do with. Let me change that, because white people have everything to do with racism. But, you know, when it's not affecting you, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. I'm not sure if I'm explaining that correctly. But regardless, if we want to get into politics, then we can talk about the Democratic support went from 92% to 88%, which is not great. I don't like seeing a decline in the support, obviously, but it's really not that big of a... It's 4%. It's not huge. The Republican support, which this surprised me, because I would have assumed that Republican support was very low to begin with. It was 37%, almost half of Republicans supported Black Lives Matter. To me, that's a big deal. And it went down to 16%. I thought it has always been low. But for it to go down that far, I think it has to do with the bullying and the pressure from the Republican side of politicizing this and making this such a big deal that their support has gone down.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different reasons here, right? And we can put our political hats on or our pundit hats on and try to figure out what's going on. But, you know, I think there's a lot of stuff happening here, and it's multi-layered, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, one thing is, you know, whoever hasn't lost their job yet doesn't want to lose their job, right?
Right.
And I think a lot of people are scared to publicly voice their opinions. Now, this is, with that said, I'm probably wrong in saying that because this is an independent poll, right? So this has nothing to do with that. But here's the thing, right? Is that, you know, across the board, I get what you're saying. A couple points here, a couple points there. Either way, it's all down across the board. Right. And here's the thing. I just want to point this one out to you here, Melody, that, you know, it says, support for the Black Lives Matter movement remains particularly widespread among Black adults. Some 87% of Black Americans say they support the movement, similar to the share who said this in June. So not a whole lot of change there, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, the share of Black adults expressing strong support for the movement has decreased 9 points from 71 to 62%. So that means they're becoming more indifferent.
Yeah.
They're losing hope.
And it's because we're not getting enough change. All of these protests, all, you know, and even the protests that have ended in looting and burning cities down, which aren't even the protesters. That's a whole other podcast. But all of these things that has sparked such huge public outcry, there's just not enough change.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, right? I would challenge most of our listeners. I'm not going to take this challenge because I'm going to fail it. To name 15 Black men and women who have been murdered by police. I can't do it. There's too many.
There's too many.
Right? And it seemed like there's a new name every week.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's one in Minneapolis, then there's one, you know, we had one here in our back door in South Florida, right? We had the
Corey Jones.
We had the gentleman who was just recently paralyzed, right, by being shot by police. Well, we had that happen here in South Florida many years ago.
Right.
He was riding his bicycle and grabbed, I believe, his cell phone and was paralyzed by a deputy officer. So this and is
Bradshaw the, settled that for
of course
a few million.
And you know, the thing is that wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
And it's always the same thing, right? And then
but it's the chicken or the egg. Is there not enough change because people are fatigued and it dies out? Or are people fatigued and it dies out because there's not enough change? I feel like we need to push through this. This is that time when, like, you know, when runners talk about that wall that you have to push through. And once you break that barrier, you have this, like, amazing. I wouldn't know. I'm fat running. And I don't run.
I hate running. So I can't necessarily agree with that analogy, but I get what you're trying to say.
You've heard this, right?
Sure.
Okay. So okay.
My feet would hate that analogy. So.
Yeah. So I don't know personally, but runners, supposedly, there's this wall.
Yeah, supposedly, like, they also get high off of running. I don't get that, but.
Yeah. I mean, I get high off chocolate, but not, you know, whatever. Yeah. Anyways, but I feel like that's sort of what we have to do now. We're hitting this brick wall of fatigue across the board of every race, every, you know, political party. I think we need to push through that rally and create some real change.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, right? Because it's like a roller coaster. You get a Black individual who's shot and killed down by police. Mm-hmm. People get up in arms. It gets the 24-hour news cycle, which, me personally, I think is doing a disservice also. But, you know, it gets people protesting. You get Black Lives Matter out in the street. I can't breathe. Whatever it is. Out there in the streets, a week goes by, maybe. And then it's gone. It's a flash in the pan. And here's the thing. I got to tell you this, and this is where I don't want to get on the political landscape here, right? But if you're looking at red versus blue, for example, you got a lot of very, very, very devoted folks on the other side.
On the red side.
On the red side that stand out, for example, on the corner that you were just protesting at this mm-hmm. weekend. They're out there every weekend. Every weekend. Nonstop. Whether there's one or 20 of them, they're out there. And
you know what I found out, though? There are blue out there every weekend from 9 a.m. to 10:30.
Sure.
We're talking about PGA Boulevard and Military Trail in Palm Beach Gardens. If anyone wants to go out and protest for Trump or for Biden, they're there every weekend. The Biden crew is there from 9 to 10:30. And I don't know the time for the Trump people, but
it's pretty much around the same, I think.
Yeah, we're trying to stay bipartisan here. So, you know, again, a whole other podcast conversation, but I think that this is a social issue, not a political issue. And that's why I don't want to do red or blue. But
I agree. And but my point is this, though, is that I think there is, and I don't have the answer, right? I'm just talking. It's easy for me to talk to a microphone without an answer, and I hate doing that. I don't have an answer to this.
Right.
But, you know, it seems like we get outraged.
Right.
When an injustice occurs.
Rightfully so.
And it just dies.
And that is where I want to challenge every single person listening to this, even if there's two, that you don't quit. Think about what you can do for this movement, whether it's donating your time, your finances, your resources, or all three.
Or even just educating people on our website.
Right. You know, like just being part of the conversation. This fatigue that we feel as white people, just from hearing about all these injustices and talking about it to other people, and trying to figure out what we can do to help, that fatigue we feel is nothing compared to the fatigue that Black people have felt for hundreds of years.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's like, you ever had that watched YouTube, right? Or just a regular TV channel, and you get sick and tired of seeing that one commercial come on over and over again, you know? Where you're like, oh, God, yes. Not again. Here we go. You know, and you just can't wait for it to be over. I feel like that's the way that this is heading. And it's just like breaking news on CNN. Another Black man or Black woman got shot down. And it's like, oh, here we go again. You know, when is this ever going to end? This is just nonstop.
Right.
And yes, there's bigger answers than us. There's police reform. There's legislation. There's a whole bunch of things that it could be.
Right.
And that's bigger than us, I think. But it starts somewhere, and it starts with awareness, and it starts with making enough noise that your local legislators hear you.
Yes.
Write letters. Make phone calls. Write your senator. Write your congressman. Write all those guys, right? And let them know that, hey, I don't agree with whatever it is you don't agree with, let them know that, right?
And to be more specific, on our page, if you want to follow us, Black Lives Now, it's blnow.org. You can see all of our social media on there. I will get, I will, you know, pose a challenge to us personally to get a list of different people that people can contact on our website soon, to make it a little easier.
You mean you're going to challenge me to do that as the IT administrator?
Yes, sir. because I think that that is very important. And, you know, there's actually, we have a group on Facebook. If you go to blnow.org and go to the Facebook link, we have a group. It's about 2,600 people, and we are still growing. If you go on there, there's a survey, a poll, about how to get, you know, if you want to get involved, if you're fatigued, you know, whatever's going on. and what we're doing as a group and how you want to see us grow and do more things. So go on those polls, and that'll help our direction as well as far as what we're doing.
Absolutely. Well said, Melody. So I think what we can do now is we can probably pivot to our second topic of the night.
Yes.
And that's going to be this recent statement put out by Ron DeSantis. I don't have the information in front of me, so Melody, I'm going to rely on you to read this. But it sounds a little, I don't know, it sounds a little detrimental. Well, okay, let me take one step backwards. For me personally, some of it seems like it's just talk, right? And it seems like it's trying to, I'm trying to even think of the right way to say this. It's trying to basically get ahead of potential future demonstrations that may or may not occur. Right.
To me, this is an act of war on any organization that is pro Black Lives Matter movement. Now, there is a lot of stigma and a lot of, you know, stuff around the Black Lives Matter national organization.
Rioting.
Well, they are blamed for the rioting. Yeah. They're blamed for the more extremist and Antifa organization. They also are blamed for being anti-Semitic. They're blamed for being all kind, you know, part of the Nation of Islam. They're blamed for a lot of things. They're blamed for,
was any of that true?
Funneling money into the DNC. I have no idea.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of stuff.
Stuff to unravel, right?
Right. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff, and so that's not my place. And that's really, you know, to me, I feel like Black Lives Matter, the movement. Maybe not so much the national organization.
Ideology,
but,
right? The ideology, yeah, behind it.
The movement is what's important.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time now to elevate Black lives, because sure, they have not been for, okay, way too long. So that's why our organization is Black Lives Now. This is right now. This is our time to fight. So this, to me, is an act of war on all the organizations. We're not the only offshoot. I mean, there's plenty of organizations out there that are not Black Lives Matter national organization. There's Black Lives Matter community, core community organization, Reform for Education in Stewart. There's the Palm Beach Alliance Black Lives Matter.
Sure.
There, you know, there's a lot of organizations out there.
And this is where Melody, we talked about earlier in the podcast, right, that we may not necessarily agree right off the bat. I'm open to being educated, and I want to hear your point. But when I briefly, before this podcast, I briefly skimmed through this, right? It seemed like it was mainly geared towards large scale protests that, look, typically when these protests happen, right? Mm-hmm. This happened just recently in downtown West Palm Beach.
Right.
Right. And we had protesters show up in the middle of the day, and they were there throughout the middle of the day through early evening. Most of those people dispersed, but then you had agitators show up after that, throwing rocks and all that. That's when, and I'll make a statement after this in a second, but that's when things got a little out of hand. Now, the police chief also walked things back and apologized because he had to use force. He used pepper balls and things like that. And he later apologized, saying that he probably was a little excessive with it. But look, this is West Palm Beach, right? This is not L.A. This is not Milwaukee. This is not things like that. We're not expecting cars to be flipped over and burned. It just doesn't happen here. Mm-hmm. We had, what was it, Corey Jones. Corey Jones was shot and murdered right here in Palm Beach Gardens. Nothing happened. Nobody came out there and did anything like that. It just doesn't happen. The closest that we had that was in Miami recently, where they did have a couple of cars burned, Mm-hmm. But it wasn't widespread buildings on fire and anything like that, right?
Right.
So it just, in South Florida, I think we're just a little bit more tame when it comes to this kind of thing. But that's what I got out of this. This, at least the first couple of points that you're going to read here in just a second,
mm-hmm.
it was, you know, hey, if there is widespread anarchy, you're going to get charged with felonies. If there is Now, I will say real quick, though, there is one point, and I'll let you guess this, Melody. There's one point on here that I disagree with 100%, and I want to know which one you think it is.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read it because I think that it is absolutely an act of war on all organizations that are looking to peacefully protest, because anyone can turn this into something that it's not. This says the new criminal offenses to combat rioting, looting, and violence. Number 1A, prohibition on violent or disorderly assemblies. Third degree felony when seven or more persons are involved in an assembly and cause damage to property or injury to other persons.
I agree with that 100%.
But listen, this could be as easy as someone tripping. And now all of a sudden,
property damage.
It says, or injury to other persons.
Okay, so I take that as fighting, like a mob-induced fighting. So,
but somebody could trip and hit somebody on accident.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, the police can turn this into something that it's not.
Okay, fair enough. I get that.
Okay, 1B, prohibition on obstructing roadways. Third degree felony to obstruct traffic during an unpermitted protest.
You know why this happened, right?
Yeah.
The one out over here on 95 where they blocked off the roadway for like 2 hours.
I know. Demonstration or violent or disorderly assembly. Driver is not liable for injury or death caused if fleeing for safety from a mob.
That's interesting. And you know where that came from? I have a sneaking suspicion. Do you remember that news story about the truck driver?
Yeah.
In the semi truck?
Yes.
Who ended up getting pulled out of his truck and beaten.
You know what this reads to me, though? Any crazy extremist right winger.
I don't agree with this one. I'll say this isn't the magic one that I didn't agree with, but I think this is too loose in its definition.
Yes, because anyone can now run someone over.
I was threatened. Ah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I have a dash cam in my vehicle, by the way.
They can say, oh, they were in the roadway, even if they were on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that's okay.
This is scary to me.
I would hope that there's more definition behind this, not just...
No, this is what he posted. Yeah, so
I know. I'm just saying I would hope there was.
So number 1C, prohibition on destroying or toppling monuments. Second degree felony to destroy public property during a violent or disorderly assembly. Now, that's fine to me because I thought
that... It's pretty straightforward, right?
That's already a thing. Like, if you destroy property, you can already get arrested for that, right?
I would have thought so.
What is the point? I don't know. Anyways...
Probably further clarification. There's probably some loophole in the law that didn't allow that.
Number 1D, prohibition on harassment in public accommodations. First degree misdemeanor for a participant in a violent or disorderly assembly to harass or intimidate a person at a public accommodation such as a restaurant.
That's an interesting one, right?
Yeah, but again, I thought like...
Is this about masks?
No.
Read it again.
Prohibition on harassment in public accommodations. First degree misdemeanor for a participant in a violent or disorderly assembly to harass or intimidate.
What's an assembly, though? That's the thing, right?
Yeah, they're trying hard here. Okay, RICO liability.
This one's weird because, you know, RICO is like mobster shit.
I know. So number 1E, RICO liability. RICO liability attaches to anyone who organizes or funds a violent or disorderly assembly.
This is the one right here, I will say, that exposes BLNOW to liability.
And this is bullcrap to me. This is where it is absolutely an act of war on all organizations, because even if we organize a peaceful protest
and something went out of hand,
who is not invited comes,
which has happened before.
Yeah, which is exactly Antifa. They have shown up to peaceful protests and caused a huge ruckus. And that could completely come back on the organization that did everything the correct way.
So this would be a question for Ron DeSantis, right? So that, let's say this, if you applied for permits, and let's go even further
this
in that.
Actually,
hang on, no, but let's go even further in that.
This actually discourages organizations from filing for permits because then their name is on it.
Yeah. So let's say you filed for a permit, and let's say you even. You had enough money that you even got police detail, right, to help with this.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you have agitators who show up, right? For example.
Which that has happened with us.
It has happened, right? So let's just say, like that example I use in downtown West Palm Beach, right? So let's say your permit ran from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., right? Let's say the whole thing peters out by 4. Your permit still runs. Now people are down there breaking windows and crap.
It's not the people that you originally had there. It's new people.
But is it you?
Right. Then we get in trouble.
That's interesting, right?
That is unacceptable to me.
Okay. So that one I can bite on for sure. The other ones I can kind of rationalize away. That one, but here's an even bigger thing. It's a RICO statute.
Yeah.
RICO is federal.
How can he even do that? Isn't that an overreach?
Well, I mean, a lot of the things that happens in this government is
I'm overreach. Trying really hard to be bipartisan here.
I know.
Anyways, okay.
You don't necessarily have to be. We can balance each other out. It's fine.
All right. Number two, increased penalties. 2A is mandatory minimum jail sentence. Striking a law enforcement officer, including with a projectile during a violent or disorderly assembly equals 6 months mandatory minimum jail sentence. So I agree with that.
So that's throwing rocks and projectiles. I mean, I get that, right?
You shouldn't be doing that.
That's happened a lot. You know, what he's doing, I can see this right now. What he's doing is he's modeling this stuff after all these other protests that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he's doing? He's appeasing Trump at this point.
But that particular thing is fine. No one should be harming, you know, you shouldn't be judging all of law enforcement by the actions of some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like all of black people, brown people, minorities in general should not be judged on a few criminals.
Sure.
So.
It's called prejudice.
Right. Or so 2B is offense enhancements. Offense and or sentence enhancements for throwing an object during a violent or disorderly assembly that strikes a civilian or law enforcement officer, assault and battery of a law enforcement officer during a violent or disorderly assembly, and participation in a violent or disorderly assembly by an individual from another state.
So I get that one. And actually what's interesting,
I get that too.
You understand from another state, that was that guy who crossed state lines and had the assault rifle.
Well, no, it was several issues of them, you know, we were having like,
oh,
even in Miami,
guys here. Yeah, that's right.
Miami, we were having a ton of
out
of state like,
plates.
Yeah, out of state plates, but all of the people getting arrested for doing, you know, heinous things that they weren't supposed to be doing at peaceful rallies were all out of state people.
Right.
They were, in my opinion, plants.
Well,
anyways,
again, here you go. You have your daytime protests and you have your nighttime protests.
But why are you crossing state lines for that? That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, it is.
But anyways, so number three, this is the last one we can get through. Number 3A, no defund the police permitted. Prohibit state grants or aid to any local government that slashes the budget for law enforcement services. This is a huge overreach.
Okay.
The fact that local government now is not allowed to do what they want with a budget, to me, regardless, is complete overreach.
Sure, I can understand that.
That is an abuse of power.
What you got next?
3B is victim compensation. Waives sovereign immunity to allow a victim of a crime related to a violent or disorderly assembly to sue local government for damages where the local government is grossly negligent in protecting persons and property. That is very surprising to me.
How so?
Well, it's just odd that he would open up the ability to sue local government. I mean, there's like qualified immunity that protects officers from civil suits that I think is grossly overused and abused. So now he's disabling sovereign immunity. It's just very odd to me. It goes against the rest of these demands.
Yeah, you got government control, then government uncontrol, right? So Melody, I got to ask you, we got to do the typical radio show game here. Which one is the one that Rich Rodriguez disagrees with the most?
Well, I'm not done, though.
I thought you were done.
No, there's two more.
Eh.
Number 3C is government employment benefits. This one I super don't agree with. Terminates state benefits and makes anyone ineligible for employment by state local government if convicted of participating in a violent or disorderly assembly.
Okay, so see, here's the thing, and here's the reason why I prematurely did my game show voice or radio voice, because I didn't see these two. I only saw the short form.
So if you have a teacher show up to a peaceful protest,
but gets convicted,
but it turns a little disorderly, and they get arrested, they can lose their pension and employment just for being there. Not for doing anything wrong, but for being there. That is so wrong.
Well, I'm definitely never showing up to another protest.
Listen, number 3D, bail. No bond or bail until first appearance in court if charged with a crime related to participating in a violent or disorderly assembly. Rebuttal presumption against bond or bail after first appearance. So, if I am to guess which one...
Wait, I got to do my radio voice again.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, Melody, which one does Richard Rodriguez disagree with the most?
I'm going to go with defund the police.
You got it right!
Oh, I know you.
Yeah, you got it right. You know, we've interviewed a lot of interesting folk.
Yes.
Right. A lot of different politicians and a lot of different people. And that one doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah. Telling local government what they can do with their budgets, it's totally wrong.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'm not really sure where that's going to go.
For me, the government.
I see a lot of lawsuits. I see a lot of local lawsuits happening.
Yeah.
Against the state.
For me, the government employment benefits and...
I know one who won't sue, though.
Who?
Current sheriff of Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, I know. But we're trying to say bipartisan.
No, I know.
Anyways, well, actually, on paper, he's a Democrat because he changed to being a Democrat right before to get elected. But anyways... For me, the government employment benefits, that could really screw someone over just because they wanted to promote a peaceful protest or rally.
So, I mean, let's play connect the dots here, right? So what they're doing
That's our right as an American.
Hey, listen, I hear you. But let's play connect the dots, right? So they're saying that if you are a government employee and you are caught demonstrating against the government, you're going to get slapped down.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what that says.
Yeah.
So, don't get caught.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, so I think that covers our two topics.
This was a good first podcast.
I think so. Hopefully our listeners enjoyed, and I certainly had fun doing it.
They stopped listening like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, probably.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, hey, you know what? It might be good bedtime listening and, you know, go to sleep.
But we will be back and we'll be talking about different topics that some of them are uncomfortable, some of them are interesting, some are weird, but we will be back talking about the white bubble. Sure. We're going to talk about some different news stories we've covered, And we're going to give an update about this because we are absolutely opposed to DeSantis posting this today. And some leaders are going to get together and discuss, because this is an act of war on our organizations.
Sure. Let's do one thing real quick, Melody, before we go. One thing on your mind. What is it?
Peace. I want peace.
Peace. That's a good one. I like it.
Thank you.
Anything you want to plug, Melody?
I want to plug our page again. It's Black Lives Now. So it's blnow.org. And you can see all of our social media on there. Join our group, like our pages. We have a political action committee where we can be a lot more political. Go ahead and like that page. It's just a newbie page right now. So it's just getting started, and we will keep you updated on there. We're going to post this to our group and to our page. So if you want to stay listening, it'll also be on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
So, all right, guys.
All right. Well, this is Rich Rodriguez, and this is
Melody Rodriguez.
And thanks again for listening to the Water Cooler. We'll try to do this on a weekly basis. Appreciate if you made it all the way to the end.
Please like and subscribe on our YouTube. Join our groups.
Yeah, and give us comments too, right? So we're gonna post this on, like you said, on the Facebook.
Yeah, and on YouTube.
And on YouTube, give us comments. You know,
absolutely.
Tell us things that maybe you want to hear, or what you liked, or what you didn't like, and
give us feedback.
Yeah,
we'll cry privately.
You know, I might cry publicly. We'll see. All right, guys. Peace, be well, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.